Good morning and welcome to Boston Outlook. I'm your host, Julie Mara. Via video chat this week, I am joined by a longtime friend, Mary Ambrief, who is a pharmacist, certified health coach, and now certified widow coach. Welcome to the show, Mary.
Thanks for having me, Julie.
It's so nice to actually be able to see you. This has been my favorite part of recording from home, and we haven't seen each other in months. So this is nice to reconnect. And you shared some news with me last week about your new journey, and you wanted to share that experience with people who are in the same boat as you, right? And really just raise awareness around this journey that you've been faced with. So I'm going to let you do all the talking and you tell us as much as your journey as you'd like.
Sure. Well, back on August 23rd of 2019, my husband Brian left for work early. It was a regular Friday morning. We had our hug goodbye. I'd always say to him, I hope you have a great day. And he would always reply, as long as my day begins and ends in your arms, it will be.
Oh.
And just after 4 o'clock that day, my whole world changed. Life as I knew it was over. I lost Brian unexpectedly from a heart condition at work, an undiagnosed heart condition. So I spent the first month in a fog. I was trying to plan a celebration of life, which was overwhelming to say the least. He was a bit of a small town hero. Following that, it was months of trying to check all the boxes of what needed to get done, as well as supporting my grieving children, the duties of my professional career, helping to care for family members. And there was, little left of me at the end of the day. And of course, imagine having to pick up all of the pieces that Brian had assumed in marriage, there's a division of labor. So I had to figure out how to get all those pieces done as well. And then at some point, figure out how to move forward with my life and honor our life together. And then COVID hit.
Mm.
I lost my job. My children, who were in the entertainment and restaurant industries, were also impacted. So it was more than enough that we were processing this inexplicable grief. And then COVID honestly felt like we were being further tested.
But I know you and I know your kids and I know your family. And if anything, you guys are up for the challenge, right? And you're taking it with, full force. And look at you, like, you are turning this into something that not only is helping you and your immediate family, but is going to extend so much further once all of this gets up and running, because we're still in October. This is so new right now, right? And I feel like this is the beginning of something new for you.
Absolutely. And it really found me. I really believe it was divine intervention. I remember a day in March or April when things were pretty fresh with COVID and we were in the house a lot. My daughter was listening to a podcast and she was commenting on how good it was. And I randomly asked, I wonder if there's one for widows. And she quickly scrolled and found a few. And I began to binge listen. And remarkably, I began to feel understood in a way that I hadn't prior. So I discovered the podcaster, Joanne Filomena. She's the first widow coach in the country. She started this in 2017, and she founded a program to teach widows how to work through their grief and find a path forward. It's so needed, with over 1 million new widows in the U.S. annually. So this was such a valuable program, and much of what I'm going to reference in the interview, I want to be certain to credit her with. But through the process, I knew pretty quickly that this was something that I wanted to do. I was finding peace, and I wanted to help other widows find some peace and what I now call post-traumatic growth. So I always say that I needed the person that I am now 14 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I needed someone to shepherd me through the process, because there's so much. It's not just the grief and the emotional piece, but it's all of the other practical issues that surround losing a spouse.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I would venture to say that the majority of people have experienced grief in some way, shape, or form, and it can look so different for every single person. Even the situation, like, we're obviously having this conversation through the lens of a widow, but like, that grief must be different than grief that you've ever experienced at other points in your life.
Absolutely. And there's a stress scale out there that ranks stressful events in your life. And the one that gets 100 points, the top of the scale, is the loss of a spouse. And it's followed at a very distant second by divorce, which ranks, I believe, at 73, I believe it is. So it is an incredibly stressful life event. And yes, I've lost my mother, which I never thought anything could be as painful as that. And certainly losing a spouse, and who in many cases is a best friend, it's unreal.
I think, too, that there's a nice mesh of your experience prior to Brian's loss that is helping drive your next chapter. Like, the work that you were doing, you know, in terms of being a pharmacist, certified health coach, and now this, it all, like, comes together full circle. So it seems like a natural fit for you.
Absolutely. The program that I've put together is a 12-week holistic program. So in the program that I was just taught, it's really supporting the emotional piece, the grieving, and how to process your emotions and move forward. A lot of widows will, what we call, buffer. Some people may identify numb out. So you may eat too much, drink too much, shop too much. Just even keeping busy is a way of buffering so that you can dodge feeling those really painful emotions. And it's so important, if you want to be able to move forward, to actually sit with those feelings, as difficult as they are, and let them move through your body. And there are so many. There's, you know, there's anger, there's frustration, there's regret. For some widows, there's relief. If they were caring for a spouse that had a terminal illness. So through the 12-week program that I worked through, I was able to coach my fellow widows. And it's amazing. We all really had a very different story, but there are just so many common threads. And that's, I feel so empowered to help other widows. But one thing I do want to share is that, yes, there's the emotional coaching, but then we're all encouraged to find our niche. And for me, you're right. The backstory is that I have the knowledge of a pharmacist paired with that of a health coach. And because widows are at risk for health-related illnesses, having that behind me has helped me to form a program where I can support that as well. So it's not only emotionally supporting them, but then saying, how are you sleeping? You know, are you moving your body? How are you eating? What are you doing for self-care? And working through that with them each week to make sure that they are taking care of themselves, making sure that they're getting their health screenings, that they're not putting off a mammogram or a colonoscopy or something like that.
Yeah, those are the things that take the back seat, right? And then now we're faced with this whole COVID challenge, and that just influences so much more. I mean, I have to really stop and think about, like, what do I need to make sure happens for myself and my family? And I can't tell you how many appointments I've just pushed back because of COVID. And I have to realize at some point that, like, something is gonna need to oversee this whole COVID thing. You gotta do something. Like, flu shots, for example. I was freaking out because I had to take my 2.5-year-old to get her flu shot. And I'm like, oh my God, like, this is the first time we're doing anything. She won't wear the mask, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we went, and it was like, the whole process maybe took 10 minutes. Like, 5 of it was waiting outside. And I'm like, there are systems in place that, you know, are gonna make sure that you're safe when you go for these things. And I think anybody who's feeling that anxiety for whatever reason, once you get through that first, like, hurdle, you feel a little bit better, so that you feel more armed, I guess, in a sense, when you go and do that next thing. So especially those appointments that you're describing, those are, I feel it was like a commercial that I saw the other day, something about, and I can't remember who it was from, but saying that, like, because COVID, people with cancer diagnoses, it's coming later than it needs to be.
Right. Yes. Cancer doesn't wait.
Right. Something like that. Exactly. I don't remember what it was, but yeah, so these things are important. And then if you have this added layer of grief that you're trying to navigate, to prioritize what needs to happen first, that is most likely the biggest challenge to have to work through.
Right. And I, you know, I did that blindfolded going through the first year, all of the things that had to get done. And I'm a bit type A, I'll admit. So I, rather than immediately processing the grief, you're numb anyway. You're just in shock from the loss. I just started getting everything done that I possibly could. And there was a lot to do. There were a lot of roadblocks, things that I didn't expect that would happen. My husband's identity was stolen. They're just things that you can't imagine. And so, to have somebody coaching you with you and helping you and saying, you know, you don't have to do that at month one. That can wait till month three. And certainly the resources are out there for people to look that up. But when you're in a state of shock, just to have somebody hold your hand through that process and really empower you to do that. A widow coach doesn't do these things for you. They're there to prompt you and to support you, but you know, they can't do it.
Right.
They can't write for you. They can't go to the registry and change the title, you know, but they can be there and let you know at what phase things really need to get done.
For sure. And I mean, there's no book that's written, right? I mean, it's like, there should be a book on what do you do first, you know? I was going to ask you something and I completely lost my train of thought, which happens a lot because when I get so involved in the piece here, I know what it was. It was to circle back to Brian and how he really was this, you know, icon. People loved him so much. And he was on the show at least three times. We were trying to figure out how many times he was on. We talked diabetes, we talked vitamins. I don't know that I've shared this before, but the way that I know you is through Brian, because back when I was in high school, I worked at the pharmacy that he, you know, his family owned. And you all have become a part of my family. And, you know, like just his impact on the town of Linfield and beyond. I mean, I just can't even imagine, you know, the, not only are you trying to get through like your own grief, and then you've got this added layer of, he was like this celebrity too, you know, and like, that's a different layer to this whole story. And I just want to say you are doing a phenomenal job. Mm-hmm. Like, here you are a year later and look at how you're taking this and turning it into a positive. And that was one of the things that you told me that you were working with Brian to, I'll use your words, change the script, right? And here you are changing the script.
Right. So. It really feels authentic for me. After losing my job, I should jump in and say that I was offered some work this summer, part-time mentoring college students in a professional pharmacy practice lab, and I absolutely loved it. I loved working with young people. It gave a lot of hope and promise to the profession, and I was so humbled to be offered the position again in the fall. And I had to take a moment and say, so this is guaranteed work, and what I want to do is a complete unknown, and do I want to take that risk? And I did. I want to make that leap of faith because I feel so strongly that this is necessary. It's odd for me to have to find a widow to work with. I guess it's a widow finding me, and somebody maybe by word of mouth understanding that there is help out there. And I can tell you that it's once you speak with a fellow widow, you feel understood like you haven't before. It's, you know, it's like being going through childbirth. You can explain that all you want, but until you've actually gone through that process, I know that's probably not a good thing to
No, but it is. It's like you feel like like, it's something you can't even describe it. Like, you're part of this club, so to speak, yeah. Right?
You can't put words on it. And, you know, you spoke about grief earlier. I just want to circle back to that for a minute, because I think that there are misconceptions that grief is linear, that there are stages of grief, you know, the disbelief and anger and such, and then it ends with acceptance. And I really want to dispel that myth and say that is, from my experience and from that of all the widows that I've spoken with, is absolutely not true. It is not linear. And it comes in different phases, and you feel different emotions all the time. It's not that after a year, you're better. I think everyone wants us to be okay again. And I understand that, but people need to understand that grief is unique to each person, and you can't accelerate that healing process. You have to go through it and fully feel it and be present in order to move forward. So I'm still not there yet. I still wake in the night crying and missing my best friend.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. And I think too, along that same line of linear, right? Like, you're not going to feel it in the specific order either. Like, all of those emotions that you described, the, you know, the anger, the regret, or whatever it is, like, it's not going to go in a specific format, right? Pattern, right? Like, and that's the uniqueness of it. And I think it's, I hesitate to use the word challenge, but like, that's just how it goes, right? And so I was wondering too, the woman that you took your program with, Joanne Filomena, that's her name, right?
Yes.
So
yeah.
She just started this within the last couple of years. Like, so this is relatively new to her. And we had talked off the air, getting ready for our conversation today. And I think the statistic was there's only like 80 widow coaches in the country.
Correct.
And
yes.
So did she start the trend, or did she then become part of?
She did. Joanne, by training and her profession, was a professional life coach, and she was also a weight loss coach. And she unexpectedly lost her husband, Jim. And following that loss, she went out looking for a podcast and looking for support on widows, and found nothing. And, you know, she was just in such a wonderful position with her background and training to assume that role. And so she has produced well over 100 podcasts with all different content. And in addition, she's written 2 books. So she's really an inspiration to myself and my fellow widows. We have a Facebook group where each widow coach can share what her unique niche is. So I can tell you that some of them are Reiki masters, yoga instructors. We have military widows. Others use art therapy. We have people who specialize in finance for widows. So whatever the particular need is, I feel like there's a widow coach. You know, there are widows that are in their 30s with maybe 3 young kids under 10, and versus a 70-year-old widow who, you know, is an empty nester and maybe lost her husband after, you know, a long battle with cancer. So our stories are all very different. And not to say that I couldn't coach either of those women, but we have such a strong network that if somebody wanted someone in there that had shared their experience more similarly, there's a depot of people that we can dive in and match them.
So that's kind of what you're doing right now with getting this up and running, right? Like, so if people are listening right now saying like, wow, this is exactly what I've been looking for, what I've needed and haven't been able to find, if they were to reach out to you and say their experience was drastically different from what your experience is, you could then divert them to somebody else?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
I feel like we could do a whole year of Boston Outlook on just different widow experiences. I'd love to have some of those other women on the show. I think that, you know, there's so much to this that, you know, we're limited to a half an hour today. That doesn't mean that we can't talk again, like in the future, but there's so many different avenues that maybe we could bring a few more of those women on with you the next time that we talk and have, you know, kind of this network begin to build even just on this platform too. I do want to just remind people who we are and who you are. You're listening to Boston Outlook and I'm your host, Julie Mara. Via video chat, I'm joined by my friend, Mary Ambrief, who's a pharmacist, certified health coach, and recently certified widow coach. And you're talking about your journey. We have about 10 minutes left. I know we've covered a lot of ground. I know you have so much more that, you know, you want to make people aware of. So what would you like to bring out there now?
Well, I would first say, if there are widows that are listening who are thinking that maybe this is a road that they'd like to travel, they certainly can check out Joanne, the life coach, and have a conversation with her about her 12-week program and see if that's something that they'd be interested in. The cohort that I'm part of, the 12 that started the program in July of this year, all of us went in, I believe, wanting to become widow coaches, but not everybody joins for that reason. Some, it's just a way for them to fully process their grief and you know, be in a support group with other widows. The program meets weekly, and we receive information about coaching, and then we're matched up with each other over the course of 12 weeks. So we get to hear each other's story. And Joanne was funny about it. She'd say, it's just going to be a 15-minute Zoom. Well, I don't think there was ever a 15-minute Zoom. They were 2 hours or in some cases more, where we would each take time and share our story. And I was stunned at the strength of my fellow widows. I hope one of them won't mind that I share, but she had suffered the loss of her husband after a long illness. She suffered the loss of her daughter who had disabilities and her son in the military to an accident. So
wow.
Her strength was just amazing to me. And again, just every widow has their own unique story, and to listen to the challenges that they have, it really puts your own loss into perspective. It doesn't minimize your loss, but it helps you to understand that you're not alone. But it also helps you to understand that everybody has a different story. Everybody processes their grief differently, is supported differently. So I found it absolutely fascinating, and I was just really humbled by virtually meeting these other women and following along with where they're at in their journey.
So these women, are they local or is this like across the country?
Yeah, across the country.
Wow. So if it weren't COVID and, you know, you had to have these, I'll call them conferences over Zoom, like was there pre-COVID like opportunities for all of you to come together in person?
You know, I'm not sure about that. I know that my particular group, a few people have said we should go somewhere and, you know, and meet, because we have shared such a personal journey together. We are absolutely connected for life now. And I hope down the road we can do that. There are so many challenges for widows who, you know, want to now travel at some point. I can't imagine traveling somewhere without Brian. I can share quickly that right after he passed, our daughter had received her first professional dance contract, and she was in Williamsburg, Virginia, and I had not flown alone in my life. And I know that sounds crazy, but I was married rather young and didn't have the resources or the time prior to that, getting my degree. And it was really awkward for me to fly alone, and coming through Newark was quite an experience for me. So when I talk about post-traumatic growth, you know, driving to and from New York and Virginia, and there was just a lot that I had to overcome. Yeah. And in that first year. So
those are major experiences, I guess I'll say, like, even without that added layer, like the first time you fly alone, the first time you go on that long journey alone, there's the anxiety that comes with it, and to have that, you know, extra layer too. But also I feel like it's, like you said, it's opportunities for growth. And I think once you change your mindset in these situations, it hopefully helps kind of let the pieces fall into place the way that they should. And I think that's why all of your experience with everything, like all of your certifications, like your whole life story has brought you here and now, and is, like I said before, allowing for that next chapter to evolve.
I feel oddly prepared.
Yeah, right? Like, I mean, even the work that you're doing with the mentoring of the pharmacy students, like it, just the idea of mentoring fits into the work that you're doing with the widow coaches. Like, this is a mentorship, you know? We have a few minutes left, and I wanted to ask you what the experience was for you for the 12-week, like, program that you went through. So, you know, obviously it was an opportunity to meet other women, to, you know, be trained to do this work yourself. But, like, what else stood out during those 12 weeks as you were going through through the program?
Right. You know, there were, each week we were presented with a different topic, and one of the weeks really focused on what you brought to the marriage and what your partner brought, and now what's absent for you. So when we were just talking about Virginia, you know, I'll humble myself here for a moment. Brian was always the one that navigated everything. He controlled, you know, where we were going. He knew the best route. He would always look at a map first. You know, planning brought confidence, and I honestly kind of just didn't pay attention. Sometimes he would call me in the car and say, "Where are you?" And I would say, "You know, I have no idea. Wait till I come upon the next sign on the highway." Truly, I would be just rolling along. So it was funny when I was at Busch Gardens last year, and there's this enormous park to navigate, and I had a map. And I can't tell you how many times I got turned around, and there's all these, you know, different countries within Busch Gardens. Yes. And that was a moment for me that I realized, you know, I miss him in so many ways, but that was something that he always loved to kind of take control of. And I relinquished that. I loved that. I had somebody who was so able and so willing to do that. But now I have to take a moment and say, now it's on you.
Right.
You know, you need to be paying attention. You have to know where you're going. And that's just one example. But, you know, Julie, learning how to run a snowblower and all the little nuances in a home, all the different things that have to get done. And they're simple things, mind you, but when you're changing smoke detector batteries and everything is connected centrally and you pull one battery out and the whole house is screaming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the little things for sure.
It is the little things. And I think too, even if folks are listening this morning and are in a situation where, you know, this doesn't speak to them right now, it might even just be kind of that, like, even a little bit of a, I don't want to call it a wake up call, but like everything that you just described, it's like, you know, take a step back and almost see, like, what is it that we're all bringing to the table, and almost make a mental note of, like, what am I going to do if I'm in a situation like this, right? Like, you know, you can't plan everything, but at the same time, it's almost like it's an opportunity to reset and realize and kind of put things into perspective, like you said, that, like, you know, someday you might need to change the smoke alarm battery, right? I don't know. You know what I'm like at a little bit of a loss for words here, but you know what I'm trying to say.
I love that you brought this up because part of what I do is called a survivor's guide. And I'm doing this with married couples right now. That's kind of it's part of the widow coaching program that I offer, but it's also a standalone program. So what I do is through a series of pretty well-rehearsed prompts, I help you to get your life on paper And I think it's super important to do that. Brian and I had a lot of that done, not all of it, but it gives you peace, and not around just end of life planning, but how to take care of the dog, what all your passwords are. There are some really important pieces that if one spouse passed unexpectedly, the other would be left wondering how to get things right. done. You know, the average age of a widow is 59 years old.
Oh my gosh.
So it happened early for me at 52 on the, just prior to my 53rd birthday, but most of my friends are jumping on board and letting me help them put their life on paper. It's about a 90-minute exercise. I don't get to learn anything about them. I just prompt them mm-hmm. so their privacy is preserved. Do you have a life insurance policy? You know, does the surviving spouse know who to call to put that in motion? Do you have a storage unit? You know, some of the couples that I spoke to, they have that, but one person has the key or knows the code. There's so many pieces. So my life is on paper. That was one of the first things I prioritized after I lost Brian, so that my kids, if something happened to me, which I was at an increased risk for, they would know what to do, exactly what to do. Hit print, sure. You get 8 pages that tell you everything you need, right down to when to give the dog the heartworm pill.
You know, I love that. That's actually a whole other subject that we should dive into the next time, because we are just about out of time. It's funny too, because I'm literally sitting here listening to this and I'm like, I know my mom went through this with me. If God forbid anything happens, this is where such and such is. And I'm like, I think I know where it is. I'm like, it could only be in like maybe 3 places, but wow, if nothing else resonated with you this morning, I hope that is something, you know, to get your gears going as you maybe get that second cup of coffee. We've been chatting with my friend Mary Ambrief. She's a pharmacist, certified health coach, and now recently certified widow coach. I want to congratulate you on all of this. This is so wonderful. I'm so happy for you moving into your next chapter, and really just what a nice celebration for you, for Brian, and for your family. So thank you for sharing your story this morning.
Oh, thanks for giving me the platform to do it. Thank you.